Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Jude. Remember that the book of Jude is the last book in the Bible right before Revelation. So as you're turning to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the book before that would be the book of Jude. And remember that the book of Jude is the corridor book leading from the epistles into the last things in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Jude is that corridor to walk us through how we're supposed to operate as a church into the last days. It helps us to walk through, to have an understanding of what's going on in our world as we're preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ. And if you don't mind, as a running start, let's look in the book of Jude, starting at verse 1, and we'll work down to where we're at today. Notice with me in the book of Jude in verse 1, the Bible says this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. And when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming about their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jude? And notice with me in verse number 13. Jude in verse number 13, notice the phrase, the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness forever. With the Lord's help, we're going to preach about this and from this verse here, these verses in the book of Jude. The blackness of darkness forever. Now, we understand that the book of Jude deals with a religious crowd, an apostate crowd. This is a crowd that doesn't claim that they're atheists. They don't claim that they are against God. This is dealing with a crowd that is part of churches that look religious. They wear the religious clothes. They have the religious lingo. They identify with believers. They look and talk like Christians in many ways, but they have denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Jude, it is rebuking them. Remember that throughout the book of Jude, we're watching that in these last days, that these creepers, these brute beasts are trying to infiltrate inside of churches and get false doctrine, to draw away disciples unto themselves, to confuse people, to draw people away from serving God. They're there to wreck and destroy. And this is the context, and here it's talking about their end and what they are like, and that the Bible says that the end of these apostles is the blackness of darkness forever. Now, most of us are quick to say that there's a real heaven. There is a real heaven, and you could go there because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man go to the Father but by me. But as quick as we are to say that there's a real heaven, we also must admit that there's a real place called hell. And that real people go to that awful place called hell. Hell is so real. It's not a popular subject, but hell is a real place. The Bible describes that it is the blackness of darkness forever. If you don't mind, as we go and explore the book of Jude, let's point out a couple different things that we understand. That first of all, we have to look at our world today, and we see the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world. Most of you, it's not very hard to convince you that we live in a very dark world. We live in a world that's getting darker all the time. We live in a world that the Bible describes in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, that it says that there's rulers of darkness in this world. Rulers of darkness in this world. That we know that darkness was introduced by Satan into this world as he tempted Adam and Eve to sin against God. Darkness entered into this world. Satan, of course, is not in hell now. Hell is his destination. Hell is somewhere where Satan does not want to go. But during this time, he is the ruler of this world. Darkness. And he has an agenda. And the world system is against God. We know that even today, as we're watching society completely change. In, I think it was 1974, one of the leading advocates for homosexuality put out an article putting out that says, our goal is not only total acceptance of our lifestyle, our goal is to get to the place where churches are forced. Every church that condemns our lifestyle is forced to close their doors in recognition and to make the world celebrate men loving men. In that article, he says, we are after your children. We will convince your children that our lifestyle is right and thus change society. That was 1974. Here we are in 2019. And the children have been indoctrinated so much that now as we lead young millennials to the Lord or try to talk with them, that is their big objection because they have grown up with homosexuality as commonplace. I talked with a young man a couple months ago who was saying, if I join a church, what do I do with my homosexual friends? He's not homosexual, but he has so many homosexual friends, he's afraid of what they're going to think of him joining a church. And be a part of a church. You understand, we live in a place that is so dark, and it is getting darker all the time. We're giving one example of that, but it is now all over the place where darkness is around us, and it's getting darkness. We know that this world is awful. It is horrible. That we know where it was plunged into darkness was with Satan tempting Adam and Eve, and darkness entered into this world. And it is just growing and growing and growing. And we have darkness in this world. Which brings us back to the text of what we're talking about. Not only the darkness of the world, but the deception of these apostates. The deception of these apostates. Now, we know that the whole book of Jude is talking about the apostates. It calls these people creepers. Verse 4, there were certain men that crept in unawares, and they have their own agenda. The Bible talks about, in verse number 10, that they are brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. So it's in this context, verse 11, woe unto them. Then finally verse 12, as it's still talking about these apostates. Notice as it talks about these apostates, these creepers that creep into churches unaware, these people that are trying to deceive people and bring them away. Notice what the Bible describes them in verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, they feeding themselves without fear. It's almost like that uninvited guest. You have a nice dinner, and then they pop in, and they eat all your food and ruin everything. And they feed themselves without fear. What are you going to do about it? Huh? What are you going to do about it? And you're looking at them trying to be a good host, and they're wrecking everything. Can you imagine having a nice feast? You invited your friends and the uninvited guest comes and just starts helping himself before the guests get here and tear up everything that you have nice and neat. And by the time your guests get here, they have leftovers and crumbs. And isn't that horrible? But this is the picture that they have here, that they're feasting and they're feeding and they're ruining everything. And they weren't invited, but they're here anyways. Notice as the Bible describes them some more in verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, notice this, feeding themselves without fear. Here's another description. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Now remember that Israel is a desert society. So any cloud you see, you have hope. It's got rain. Now, out here, clouds aren't a big deal because we see them all the time. But to a desert society where there's not a lot of water, and you see a cloud, that's your hope that they have water to water the crops, to bring this stuff out in the desert. And you know what they are? They're clouds with no water. They're big patches of hot air that have no substance. These are what the creepers are. These are the false teachers that try to come into churches. They're full of the hope of water, but no substance. Nothing there. They're just blown away with the wind. Isn't that a picture of emptiness? This is what they are like. Notice as the Bible describes them some more. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Here it says these are trees that appear to have fruit, but they have no fruit and no root. There's no substance. They're easy to pluck out because there's nothing to it. They're not anchored to something. It's a deceitful type of thing. You're like, it's like going to an apple tree. Oh, that's an apple tree. I'm really hungry. And look, and there's nothing. You look through the whole thing. I thought this was an apple tree. Oh, look, here over there, there's a pear tree. We could use a nice juicy pear. Nothing. And then if you examine the tree, you could see that it has no roots. You can almost just pluck that thing out because it's not anchored in. That's what they are. They have the hope of fruit, but there's nothing there. They're not anchored in. These are the false teachers in the way that the Bible describes them, that they have no substance. There's nothing to it. They offer emptiness to people, but there's nothing there. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Notice in verse number 13, it continues with the description. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Here's another description that they have of them. Imagine a raging sea, a storm going. They're white caps, and they're just foaming because of the violence of the water, that the top of the water, the waves are white with the foam and as they're crashing over. They're like a big storm with these waves just trying to overwhelm, beat against them, trying to force to have their way. And notice this, foaming out their own shame. that the more that they're pounding, the more that they work, the more that they're proving, they have no substance. It's almost like someone who's not very confident in their argument, and so they try to get as many people on their side, think that might makes right. Well, you know what? I don't care what you say. We all agree. That's kind of the idea. It's kind of like someone who's not confident in their argument, and so in order to win the argument, they don't win it with logic. They win it with loud volume, as if you don't agree with me now, but now you agree with me, as if turning up the volume all of a sudden says, oh, well, all you need to do is turn up the volume. Now I understand exactly what you're saying. It's kind of that idea. They're beating across and they're raging near with the waves, these white caps going on. But all they are is foaming out their own shame, proving that they have no substance. Kind of see the idea here? There's nothing to it. Notice there's another description in verse 13. Wandering stars. This is the idea of a shooting star. A shooting star, of course, we know what they are, is that they're debris coming up from the atmosphere. As they enter into the atmosphere, they burn up. So little rocks, they burn up, and they leave little streaks. And you know what happens? They burn up, and then there's nothing there. They just burn out. So they look bright for a second, and then... Again, the idea of no substance. They look really bright. Ooh! And then when you go and investigate it, there's nothing there. It burnt up. It's gone. No substance. There's nothing to help you. And the Bible says this is what these apostates are. No substance. Nothing to help you. They have nothing to offer you but emptiness. And they pound away and just proving their own shame. And the Bible says you want to know what happens to these folks. You want to see what happens to them? Not only do we know that we have darkness in this world, but we see the deception of these apostates, these deception that it ends up empty, but we also notice the doom of these people. Where do they go? Notice in verse number 14, or 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What is this speaking about? It's speaking about an awful place called hell. Eternity future in the lake of fire. Hell is a real place. Let me admit to you that if there was one doctrine in the Bible that if I could choose not to believe it, it would be hell. Why? Because hell is so awful. It is awful. What is hell like? The Bible describes in the book of Luke in verse 16, or chapter 16, that it is a place of torments forever. It is a place that with the fire raging so hot that one drop of water would seem like a relief. The torments are that awful. The Bible describes it as a place where the fire doesn't die, where the worm dieth not. It's a place where you're burning forever and the worms are crawling around you eating, but you are not consumed. It is a place of no rest. There's no breaks, there's no siestas, there's no sleeping overnight. It is torments forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. No stop, no parole, no getting out. It is an awful place. Of course, the book of Jude here describes it as a place of darkness forever. It is a place that is so dark that even though the flames are raging, there's such a type of flame that it is a black flame and you can't see anything around you. You feel the burning, but the darkness is so thick that you put your hand in front of your face and you can't see it. It is an awful place. It is a place where there are no people to communicate with. You could hear the screams of other people, but you can never interact. You can never talk to them. It is a place where people still hate God. You see, those people don't realize that God owns hell. And the people who reject God, they're on their way to hell, to a hell that God owns. And they can't get away from. They'll still hate God. They still refuse to get right. It is a place where those that are addicted will still have their addictions. Those that are addicted to liquor will still crave another drink. Those that are addicted to nicotine will still crave another drag. Those that are addicted to sex will still crave and cannot have. It is a place where their body is still sinful, still nasty, still awful, but it will not be consumed, and they still have their awful desires. Hell is an awful place. And who goes to hell, by the way? Hell's a place where grandmothers go, where children go. Anyone who has never personally accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hell is not reserved just for apostates. Hell is not reserved for the Adolf Hitlers and the Mussolinis. Hell is reserved for anyone who never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Someone who never chose to allow Jesus to forgive them of their sins. Hell is a place where real people go. People like our neighbors. People like the gas station clerk, the grocery store clerk. People like our family members who have never accepted Jesus as our Savior. It is an awful, awful place where real people go. And it's a place that we don't want people to go there. The atheist Penn Jillette, a famous magician, recorded an incident that after one of his magic shows, he noticed that there was a young man who was waiting patiently off the side. And then as Penn Jillette was greeting folks and after the show and saying hello, the young man waited his turn until everyone had cleared the way. The young man handed Penn Jillette a Bible. And inside of the Bible had marked verses of the Romans Road and gave a tract that told him to look at these verses. And Penn Jillette took it and accepted it. And Penn Jillette said this. He says, "I'm an atheist. I know that there's no such thing as God. I could prove that there's no such thing as God. However, here's a young man who believed in what the Bible said so much that he was willing to follow up with it. He says, the most loving thing you do is that if you believe that there's such a thing as a hell, such a thing as a heaven, and that people can go to either one of those places, how much do you have to hate someone not to proselyte?" This is an atheist saying, the most loving thing you can do is to tell someone about the Lord. If you truly believe there's an awful place called hell. You know, there's one thing that we follow up. Belief affects behavior. If you really believe that people are dying and going to hell, then it affects how you deal with people. You don't want to see a single person go to that awful place called hell. One of the things is that we may acknowledge hell as a fact, but we don't really believe that real people are going there. Otherwise, we do everything we could to warn them. Everything we can do to stop them. Everything we could do to beg them not to go. Which brings me to one last thing, the deliverance in Jesus Christ. You know, we do live in a dark world that's getting darker. We live in a world with apostates that are empty and trying to deceive people and trying to fool people from the Bible. We understand that we live in a place where hell is a real place and real people are going there. But there's also good news. There's deliverance in Jesus Christ. There's not a single person who has to go to that awful place called hell. The Bible talks about in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 9, that it says that He is the true light. That we do have light in the darkness. It's Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 9, it says that we were called out of the darkness into His light. The Bible talks about, let your light so shine before men. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The song goes on, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Think about a world that is pitch black. In your mind, think about that you're in a room, you're in a cave, no lights, no windows. Think about how dark it is. And then someone lights a match. Can't that light be seen in the whole room? This is what it's talking about. We live in a dark world that's getting darker. All that means is that our light shines even brighter when we let it shine. That people can see it more in the midst of the darkness. The greatest evidence that this Bible works is the evidence of a changed life. The evidence that our life is different. That light shines. When we're different from the world, and the world says there's something there, they see that light. And in the midst of darkness, light attracts. People who are in the midst of darkness, they want to see that light. It's amazing how far light can travel. In World War II, they would have what is called total blackouts. Because the Germans would be flying their planes to go to Great Britain. And they'd be flying their planes and they would put the air raid sirens. And they would say, every light has to be out. And when they say every light, I mean every light. You remember radios that have like one little green light, the LED light? You know, in the midst of darkness, even light like that can be seen from above. Light can be seen from a far distance in the midst of darkness. And as long as those German pilots can find some sort of light, that's where they're dropping the bombs on. Because light can be seen in darkness from a distance away. You understand, our responsibility is to let our light shine. That as we follow God, as we get closer with God, our life will be different. And as our life is different, it will shine before men. The Bible says that they may glorify God's good works. That when they see your light, they're going to say, their God is real. You see, we don't have to live in a place like there's no hope. We know that we live in a dark world, but there is hope, and that's the light of Jesus Christ. And he could shine before all men. You see, real people are going to go to an awful place called hell. Our way of stopping it is by being the light, letting the light of Jesus Christ shine in us and draw those people away from the edge of darkness and bring them into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the dark world, we're not left without hope. In fact, in a dark world, our light shines even brighter. Let your light so shine before men. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.